I want to read a verse over in 1 John, chapter number 4. 1 John, chapter number 4. This song that Brother David led goes right along with some of my thoughts tonight and this little message that I've put together today. But I want to read one verse found in 1 John chapter number 4. If you there, say amen. Verse number 18, the Bible says, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." You know, we have a lot of fears in life. Fear about dying. We have fears of the present day we live in. Fears of the future. If we ain't got nothing to worry about, we'll think up something to worry about, won't we? It's just sort of our nature, I guess. You know, there's a lot of things going on in this old world today, and that's one of my thoughts tonight. It's going to be about fear. So let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you, dear God, for this day. Another privilege, Lord, of being back in your house, gathering around your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, and for your people, Lord. God, we ask you tonight, Lord, to open our hearts to the word of God, Lord. Ask you to speak to us, Lord, to encourage your people tonight, Lord. And help us to press on, Lord, in these last days. We love you and we thank you, God, for all you do for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray this prayer. Amen. All right, tonight, y'all seen this T-shirt that says Faith Over Fear? Y'all seen that, haven't you? Well, sometimes fear gets bigger than faith, don't it? Just be honest about it. It's pretty easy for me to look at your situation. When you're going through a storm and you got something to come up in your life, it's easy for me to look at you and say, well, now you just got to have faith. God will bring you through it. But it's a different situation when it's turned around and it's on you, isn't it? And so tonight I want to talk about fear. And if you look through the Word of God, you'll see that some of the greatest characters in the Word of God face many fears. Job made a statement, over in his book there, that the thing that I was so greatly afraid of or had fear of has now come upon me. And what a great character, Bible character Job was. What a great man of God he was. David, you remember King David? When he was just a boy, he went down and faced Goliath. He didn't have any fear of Goliath, a giant, who was far above his side and his ability, a man of war. But he went there and he fought him. And yet, a little bit later on in the life of David, when he was around Saul, Saul was trying to kill him and David was afraid. David was afraid not only, I guess, for his own life, but he was afraid to put his hand upon God's anointed. And so if you can look through the Bible, you see fear everywhere. It's mentioned over 400 times on the pages of your Bible. And it comes to us on a daily basis, more than likely, some kind of fear that we have sooner or later. But the Bible tells us this right here. There's different kinds of fear. We're told that we should fear the Lord. And that's a positive statement. And the Bible tells us to fear, and it tells us also to fear not things. And so many times in the Bible, so many things that we can learn from God's Word about fear. Jesus made this statement. He said, fear not him who has the power to kill the body and not the soul, but fear him who has the power to kill both soul and body in hell. So we see a fear and a fear not in that verse right there. But I want to talk about four things right here concerning fear in our lives. The fear of the Lord, a spirit of fear, fear of the times, fear of dying. Those four things I want to touch on tonight. There's many other things in the Word of God that deals with fear that we have to deal with. But I want us to look at these things right here and see if we can draw some strength from the Word of God. The fear of the Lord. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 9 and 10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We ought to fear God. I remember when I was a lost man, I feared God. I feared dying. I feared hell. And there's so many people today, it seems like they don't even realize that there is a hell. But and they go through life and they don't have any fear of God. Our country has lost the fear of God. And it's a sad thing that we got so many compromises going on in Washington in our country today. So many things just taking place that our forefathers would actually, they'd turn over in their grave today if they could see the things that's going on in this country today. But the fear of the Lord simply means that we ought to reverence God. Respect God, the Almighty God who holds our life in His hand, holds all blessings in heaven and earth in His hands. And we ought to obey Him. We ought to see what the Word of God says about Him and see what God expects out of us as Christian people. And try to do our best to be obedient unto Him. We ought to fear the Lord as our Creator. The Lord created the heavens and the earth. You know, we hear a whole lot about climate change in the day that we live. And, you know, God's got it all in His hands. He's the controller. The Bible teaches us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that are therein belongs to God. And He's in control of the climate. And I'm not worried about climate change. Now, you know, the Democrats say, I think it was old AOC, whatever her name is, they call her AOC. It was several years ago. She said, we didn't have but 12 years left, and we're going to all die out. And I'm fixing to get into another whole message. I'm going to pass that nut. There's some nuts in the world today, let me say that. And a lot of them are getting rich off of climate change. I'm still getting in that message. I'm backing off of that right now. But God, we ought to fear the Lord because He's the creator of this world. He created me. He created you. And we're in His hand. We're in His control. And so it'd do us good to fear God, to reverence God, and to obey His commandments. And that we as Christians ought to see that that's a priority in our life. He's creator. He's also judge. The Bible says that the Lord has prepared His throne for judgment. This world's going to be judged one of these days. You can take all these folks that don't believe in God or believe in some false God. They're going to stand before the God one day and they're going to be judged. Amen. Those that have been Christ rejecters and God haters, they'll be plunged into a devil's hell one day. But I'm glad I'm ready for judgment tonight. I'm glad all my sins have been under the blood of Christ. And I'm ready for the Lord to come back. I'm glad it don't scare me. It don't put fear in my heart for somebody to say Jesus is soon to come. It puts comfort in my heart because my sins have been settled. My sins are on the blood. And I've been to Calvary and I've been saved, blood bought, born again and ready. Can you say that in your heart tonight? Because Jesus is coming. This Bible right here says He's coming. And God's not left us in the dark. We don't have to guess. He gave us so many things about the second coming to look at and know that time is nigh. We don't have to wonder that we're in the last days. Because we're there. Fear of the Lord is our creator, as our judge. But He's our justifier. I thank the Lord that He left the glories of heaven one day, came down to this old sinful world. Took upon Himself flesh. Took upon Himself flesh, Brother Lee. And He walked among men and He sinned not His whole life. And when He went to Calvary's cross and hung there in open shame, God took my sins. God took your sins and He placed them upon His darling Son there. That we could be clothed in His righteousness. That we could be saved, sealed, and on our way to heaven. And I thank God for that. I've been justified. Not only saved from wrath, saved by grace through faith, but I'm kept by His power, as Peter said. I'm glad I'm in good hands tonight, ain't you? Amen. Whatever comes my way in life, I'm saved. I'm saved. And I'm in the Lord's hands. And, you know, nothing can pluck me out of His hands. And I bless His name for that tonight. The fear of the Lord. You think about that. We ought to reverence the Lord. This place is a holy place. We ought to reverence the house of God. Amen. God's been good to us. And I'm glad in these perilous times that we live in that I've got a God that's watching over me. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, this old world is sure in a mess today. And, you know, it's perilous times that we live in. And so I want you to know, too, that the Bible says that we ought to fear the Lord. We're taught in the Bible. If you look back in Deuteronomy, He cautions His people about fearing Him and keeping His commandments, being obedient to Him, and realizing where our blessings come from. But He also says in the Word of God that there is a spirit of fear that's not of God. Amen. Listen to this. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So, in 1 John again, the Bible tells us to try the spirits to see whether they be of God, doesn't it? And so God says, I'm not giving you a spirit of fear, a spirit of power, and a spirit of love, and of a sound mind. Fear will drive you nuts. Won't it? Amen. You ever been to the doctor and he says, well, I don't know, we're going to have to run some more tests. See what this is. And all of a sudden, you got every disease that ever hit the books. I'm dying. You ever been there? When I was about 30 years old, the side of my face went numb. And I went to the doctor, and he didn't know what it was. He sent me to Atlanta to a neurologist. Well, he couldn't figure out what it was, so he sent me over to Georgia Baptist Hospital to another doctor. He didn't know what it was. He sent me over to Piedmont, and I went to 5 different places in Atlanta. And the last one I saw up there, he said, well, I'm going to have to send you back to the neurologist. And so it was like a big circle. And so I go back there, and he said, they've done told me, well, you got every sign of a brain tumor. Anyway, this neurologist said, well, Mr. Rollins said, all I know to do is just do some surgery and see what's going on. And he said, or you can just live with it. And I said, I believe I'll just live with it. And so I've been living a pretty good while since then. But you're talking about the devil playing with somebody's mind, you know. Things take place in our lives, and boy, we just think the worst, don't we? It was a spirit of fear can come upon you that's not of God. And the devil loves to take the spirit of fear. Amen. And you know what he'll do? He'll get you to look at the things around you and not look at God. He'll have you looking at your circumstances instead of your Savior. Amen. He does that. You remember when the disciples, when Jesus sent His disciples out to cross over the sea, and He went up into a mountain to pray, and they got into a storm. And when Jesus come walking to them on the water, they thought they saw a spirit, and it scared them to death. And He said, be of good cheer. It's I. Be not afraid. Christ spoke His word. He spoke the words to them. And Peter made a statement. He said, Lord, if it be Thou. He still had doubts. He said, if it be Thou, bid me to come to Thee on the water. And when Peter stepped over on the water and began to walk to Christ, what did he do? He took his eyes off the Lord, and he got to looking at his circumstances, and he began to sink. Well, if we get our eyes off the Lord, our situation will sink us. But if we'll keep our focus upon Him, things will work out according to His will. And so the fear of the Lord, there's a spirit of fear that's not of God, but it's used by Satan. But then there's a fear of the times, the day in which we live. These are perilous times that we live in. Dangerous times. Troublesome times. And boy, it's such a need in the day in which we live today to stay close to the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Paul said in the last days they'd be perilous times. And he lays out over in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 some things that we can look at and realize that we are in the last days. But I want you to know tonight, we don't have to fear the times, the end times, and judgment is coming. Even though this old world's in a mess, it's full of chaos, confusion, anarchy, and things that's going on in this world, we're a child of God. We're a child of the Most High God who's in charge of this old world today. And God gives us everything to look at in the Word of God to realize that, we are in perilous times. We are in dangerous times. But our trust needs to be in Him. We're to cast all our cares upon the Lord, for He cares for us. And I'm glad, I thank God tonight, we've got a throne of grace that we can approach Him boldly and we can talk to Him. And realize that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and His ears are open unto their cry. And I'm glad tonight in times when things get going wrong in my life in these perilous and dangerous times that I can call upon my God. Realize that He's in charge of me and in charge of the world and the things that's taking place in my life. And I bless His name for giving us that privilege tonight of prayer. Not only are the times that we live in perilous times, but we live in a time of perversion. Amen? Perverts. Amen. Who would have ever thought that there'd be a president in Washington to fly this rainbow flag over the White House? And it's, this world's gone crazy. Absolutely gone crazy. We got a day and an hour, and when kids are being given the opportunity to change their sex, so-called. Gender. Change their gender. Which is crazy. If you was born a boy, you're gonna always be a boy. That's the way God made you. If you was born a girl, you're gonna always be a girl. That's the way God made you. Ain't no need to try to change it. The devil's he's a deceiver. He's the author of confusion, and that's what's going on in our country today. And we got leadership in this country today that's going along with the devil's deals today. Amen. Perversions. Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 17 about the days of Noah and the days of Lot. There was a lot of perversion going on in their day. Marriages got perverted. Amen? We got marriages perverted in the day that we live. When the lawmakers of this country and the judges of this country say it's okay for same-sex marriage, when God says it's an abomination, I'm going to go with God. You ain't going to change my mind. I'm not going to compromise on the things that God has laid down in His Word. I don't care if I'm the last one standing. I ain't going to change my mind on what God says. He's right, and they're wrong. And so we live in a day of great perversion. Marriages are perverted. Morals are perverted. Amen? Now, I've been around long enough to, I can look back at when I was a child, and I can see so many changes in this world today, morally. I mean, it's gone to the pits. Amen? And, if you don't watch your children, the world's after them. The devil's after your children. You're going to have to take a stand against some things that the world says is okay. You're going to have to take a stand. And you're going to have to stand on what thus saith the Word of God. Because the devil wants your children. The government wants your children. But God's given them to you. You see after them. You raise them according to God's standards, and God will be pleased with you. The mind has been perverted. Man as a whole has been perverted. In Lot's day, you know what happened in Lot's day in the city of Sodom and what God did there? What happened in Noah's day, God said, I'm going to destroy it all, and He did. And same in Lot's day. That perverted city, God said him, get out. He told Lot to get out. I'm fixing to destroy it. And he did. And God's give us the same warning in the day in which we live. Judgment's coming. Judgment is coming. You can write it down. And you can put it off 100 years in the future, 50 years in the future, 20 years in the future, but it could happen today. We're living that close to the end that it could happen any time. And so the fear of the times, perilous times, perverted times, but it's a time of providence too. God's in charge. Everything is, I mean, God's not wringing his hands and wondering what he's going to do next or how he's going to handle this. God is, he's the providential one. And it's all in his hands and he's taking care of it all. But it's a time, not only a time of providence, but it's a time of preparation. Noah, the Bible says over in the book of Hebrews, he was moved with fear to the preparing of an ark. He was moved with fear to the preparing of an ark, to the saving of his household. And Lord Jesus, help us to be moved with fear for our households, for our lost loved ones, for our lost friends. And there's so many people today that's lost, that's running after the things of this world, giving no thought to heaven or hell. And they're going to wake up one day, lift their eyes in hell if God doesn't reach them. And it's up to us to be prepared ourselves to proclaim the gospel to them, to try to persuade and prevail in getting the message of the gospel out. And I appreciate people that do, that are witnesses and that are prayer warriors and doing their best to win a lost soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because judgment is coming. There was a day in Noah's day, for 120 years, God was long-suffering to the people of this old world. But judgment was coming. God done promised it. There come a day when God said, come thou and all thy house into the ark. And when they did, God shut the door. And that was the end of it for people in that day that didn't believe Noah, didn't make their way to the ark. Judgment came. The fear of the Lord, a spirit of fear, the fear of the times. But then there's the fear of dying. You know, I look about this room right here, and you could say in 25, 50 years, 60 years, this thing's going to be totally different. Most of it's going to be gone. But God doesn't want us to fear dying. He said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And so, you know, the Bible, it also says in Hebrews 10:31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And it's good for a lost man to realize that and want to be saved. And I thank God that I had that fear when I was lost. As wicked as I was, there'd be times when that fear would just make me tremble, scare me to death. They would be nights when I couldn't sleep for fear of dying and going to hell. And I thank God for giving me that fear, because it made me, I had a desire. I wanted to be saved, but I didn't want to give up my sin. It's that simple. But thank God there come a day that I did. And God saved me. Hebrews 9:27 says there's an appointed time of death. And it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Serious words. And, you know, death's a strange thing in a way. We don't like to think about dying, do we? I don't even like dead people. I'm like this black guy that used to work for my brother. had a little body shop right down the road right here. Had two black guys that worked for him. One of them's named John H., another named Shane. And they had a good friend that they'd come down there just about every day, and they'd have a big monkey session going on. And, well, one of them went off and got killed. And it come the day of his funeral, and both of them fellows, they come on to work. My brother asked one of them, said, "Ain't you going to your buddy's funeral?" He said, "Mm-mm." He said, "Why not?" He said, "Somebody died, I'm through with them." But that's the way. I ain't gonna say that's the way I am. But I don't particularly. I'm not particularly fond of funeral homes and graveyards. I don't know where I come up with that from, but the fear of dying. But Jesus said, or the Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die. But over in the book of Revelation, it speaks about a second death. For those that are not found written in the Lamb's book of life, there is a second death. That's the death you don't want to face. The first death has no power over the Christian. The Bible says that Jesus tasted death for all men. He died for us in our stead that we might have life. I've passed from death unto life. I'll lay this body down one day, but I'll pass from this world to His world. And I'm secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. These words are written in your Bible. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Glad my sins are gone. I'm glad death has no power over me. Death has no victory over me. My sting of death was placed upon Christ on the cross, and so was yours. He says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Though we live in fearful times, if we're in Christ, we got somebody on our side. And He is for us. He's not against us. He is for us. And He'll see us through this old world and carry us into a better place one of these glorious days. Amen. Thank y'all for being here tonight.